With critical local government elections coming up this November, one would expect politicians to go all out to impress the voters. Let's hear from political commentator Solly Mueng how that is going. Welcome, Solly.
Hello, Chris. Lovely to see you again. How is it going? Look, these guys are always looking for the lowest hanging fruit in anything. I mean, when just 2 weeks ago, last week, we were thinking this immigration thing is going to be the big thing. Now we don't know anymore how the corruption, Madlanga was going to come out of Madlanga. Ramaphosa continued piling up, you know, old people that we thought we had died down. I'm not talking about age in terms of old in terms of age, but old in terms of people who've been used before, who failed before, who've been discarded, some of whom were fired by Zuma in 2013, Dinapule. We thought this lady no longer existed. And suddenly, boom, Ayanda Lolo, boom. I mean, what message are these politicians sending to South Africans in terms of their credibility? The DA, of course, as you know, is also being questioned. It said his credibility with this whole, it's being hoisted on his own petard by the revelations by John Steyn, Yesen, and Tony Leon coming to defend his political party, and poor Jordan Hill Lewis trying to look ahead. It's like, I'm not getting involved in this stuff. It's hectic.
Well, not only did President Cyril Ramaphosa appoint Dinapule to cabinet, but also Ayanda Dlodlo as ambassador to France, where the previous ambassador apparently jumped out of the window.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, isn't it? If you really think about it, Paris is a very important diplomatic position for South Africa. This is where we interact with the EU. France is a big player in the European Union. The people that we send there must be robust. They must be credible. They must be strong. They must know what they're talking about. And they must stand firm for South Africa and by extension, for Southern Africa. Now, when you send people there who have all sorts of crazy past, I think it's unfortunate because you know what? The world watches. We mustn't be naive. Each time we send somebody out there, these people who receive, the receiving states, in this case, France and the EU, will have gone into the profile of this Ayanda Dlodlo. They will say, who is this lady? I know that at some point she was chief of the intelligence services and minister of intelligence. But she hasn't got a brilliant record. I mean, it is painful because South Africa has got amazing men and women who can be sent out there in these very strong, powerful forum, multilateral organizations to represent us proudly. But the ANC still looks in its own dustbin of people they've thrown in the past to see, okay, maybe this one, people have forgotten who they are. Let's use them again. But no, we can do far better than that. The ANC needs to stop thinking that South Africa belongs to the ANC because it doesn't.
Well, still with President Cyril Ramaphosa, he's former Minister of Police, suspended Minister of Police, Senzo Mchunu, still sitting at home.
Yeah.
The very man.
Yeah. It's almost
the very
one
man.
Year.
And he's credited with having helped President Ramaphosa become president of the African National Congress. And the president still has not acted against him, despite all the allegations that have emerged at the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry.
Yeah, I mean, he is at the center of this thing. It's the same thing as Jacob Zuma not being charged for state capture. You know, the state capture of the Gupta era. We know that there have been several of them. Now we have a new one. Now this whole Madlanga Commission was started because this man decided to, from what we've heard, listen to voices that he shouldn't have listened to in order to dismantle a police unit that was busy scratching in places where seemingly the criminal network was not liking it anymore. Ramaphosa didn't fire him, but this is Ramaphosa's style. Remember during the year of COVID, when everybody was not told, stay at home, you can't work, people were being arrested by walking alone on beaches and stuff. The Minister of Health at the time was accused of stealing 150 million rands during the year of COVID, when we were in pain, people were dying. Okay, this man was not fired. He didn't fire him. He waited for him to step aside. And this stupid thing called, what do you call it? Something leave, special leave. I mean, it's absolute nonsense. Leadership is not seeking to be popular. Okay, leadership is saying, this is the tone that I'm setting, and this is how it draws. And you run for South Africa. The thing is, the problem we have in South Africa is that presidents wake up every morning confused as to whether they are presidents of a political party or president of the republic. That's why Ramaphosa was able to stand in front of a South African flag wearing his suit, not ANC paraphernalia, and said, I would rather be seen as a weak president than to see my party falter. He doesn't fire people. The lady who was Minister of Justice, who was implicated in the VBA stuff, is still around. Okay, he just shifted her to the side. He's doing exactly the same. Basically, it's a huge, big middle finger to the people of South Africa over and over again. It just makes me so mad. You have no idea.
And then there is his nephew by marriage, as he is fond of reminding us, Hungwani Mamela, allegedly one of the top five kingpins, and also allegedly the Tembisa Hospital looting kingpin, still not arrested.
Yeah, it reminds me of that monster in Harry Potter, he who shall not be named. I mean, this man, they went over and took his staff. It's very clear that he was linked, has benefited massively from the events that led to the assassination of Babita Deokaran. But he's not, nothing is happening. He's linked to Ramaphosa. At first, Ramaphosa said, no, I don't know this man. I mean, it was very clear that he knew this man. I mean, Ramaphosa is such a disappointment. So this guy, so the SIU apparently is trying to create evidence from what they have taken from him that will stand in a court of law. I mean, it's going on forever. You know, if it were you or me who were in that position, I kid you not, we would be in jail today. So this country has been turned into some kind of Orwellian animal farm. You know, there's a law for the general population and the law for the guys at the top. Assassination after assassination after assassination, people are named as kingpins. There are five people at the top. We never get to know their names because they're protected.
Meanwhile, skeleton after skeleton is tumbling out of the cupboard at the Madlonga Commission of Inquiry relating to testimony centered on crime intelligence boss General Feroz Khan. Even the Murray assassinations have now been linked to his associates.
Yeah, are we surprised or are we surprised? I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I'm very keen to know what led to this man being shot under the circumstances that we've seen. I mean, questions are being asked. And now, and he was very, very, very certain that he didn't want his to appear in the like Karim. He didn't want to appear there, to be questioned there, and he didn't want his devices to be checked. And now that a politician's Malema has been mentioned, God knows who else is going to be mentioned in there. You will see that as higher and higher names placed right above get named or get close to being revealed, suddenly things will stop. That suddenly will be diverted to something else. And this is the problem, because these guys will never get named, including in the ESCOM investigation. Remember, the writer wrote a book and said there's somebody at the top. That person has still not been named, okay? So we have these people who keep going on because they keep being protected to keep going on. And if none of these big names falls because of what's going on now, they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
Well, he was certainly desperate, General Khan, not to appear before the Madlonga Commission and answer questions relating to what had been retrieved from his devices.
Yeah, he knows where that information is going to lead to. That's what he's trying to protect himself. But it seems like it's too late. I really hope that the Madlanga Commission continues, and I hope that these people are criminally investigated, and it leads to consequences. South Africans just want consequences. South Africans, no matter who they are, where is it, they just want to know that they live in a country where the rule of law can still apply, and it will apply without fear, favor, or prejudice. And right now, we're not yet quite there.
Him being shot, there's such mystery surrounding that. Was it an attempted assassination, or did he try to do a Brett Kibble on himself?
I don't think he wanted to die. I think if they wanted to kill him, if it was meant to be an assassination, it could have been an assassination. This man was shot just days before he was to appear in the Madlanga Commission. Of course, there are interests. There would be interests out there that would not want him to appear and be questioned and end up saying things that they wouldn't want to hear. So wherever he is, of course, he must be protected. We said it last week, but it must still come out. It's a good thing that they managed to continue leading the evidence from his affidavit, even while he's lying in hospital. I hope he gets to come out to say, well, here and here and here, these are the truths. And all these people who are coming forward now, apparently voluntarily, with condition that they get interviewed in private. It's good. That information must be put out there. The South African people, again, want to know what is going on, who's involved. But we must also take responsibility. We should take responsibility. I mean, if you support a politician, say Malema, for instance, and all these things are continuing to come out, you know, tobacco connections, VBS connections, all this stuff. Of course, you could say, but he has not been charged. But what is ethical leadership? What kind of messages are we sending in terms of becoming a leader in this country to youngsters who want to be in those positions one day? You know, there's a point at which we have to be able, and a president must say, this doesn't stand for the kind of government that you want. You need to step aside. And he is not doing that. And that's so the message we're sending to people is, yeah, I want to get into politics because it's cool. You know, when you get in there, you get close to the food, to the money, and to the control, to the power. So people will go into those spaces for all the wrong reasons, not to save this amazing, beautiful country that is South Africa. And that has so much potential. But it cannot realize that potential, Chris. It cannot. While we keep putting into positions of importance, I almost said schmucks, but I didn't say, but people who should not be in those positions.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
And another member of the alleged top five, Kat Batlala, almost pulling off a plea deal that would have seen him serve just a few years in prison.
Yeah, look, I know that the story of Matlala from an SIU criminal investigation perspective is about whom he could lead to. Who are the people hiding? But he must give us something. You can't just go in there and come out 3 years later out of good behavior in prison and then enjoy the millions that ended, you know, into his bank accounts and with people being assassinated. I think that this got to be balanced. And I think the judge did the right thing to say, okay, yeah, I see we need a plea deal here, but it must be peanuts. You know, he must lead us to the serious stuff. And if he gets to give them the names and every name, including the names in politics, yeah, they should consider a deal, but they should also take the money away. I mean, I met a dude one day. I didn't meet him. I was at a pace and he was talking that all you need to do is give them a deal, go to jail for 3 years. They don't take the money you've stolen. You come back after 3 years, you live like a millionaire. We must not forget the Babita Bedokorami and all those people who've been killed, the Tlutis, everybody who's been killed because of this criminality. Their families are watching, South Africans are watching. They should not have died for nothing. The General Killian, all these people were killed for standing in the path of corruption, criminality, you know, drug trafficking, all these things. South Africa must know that we're a country of consequence. For now, we are not a country of consequence. It depends who you are. So I really hope that Makala will give the criminal justice system something that will lead to the fall of the big names hidden in there. But he must also go to jail, and he mustn't come back in 3 years' time to enjoy the money. He wasn't.
Well, I'm sure he's fully aware of the fact that if he named somebody he shouldn't name, that he will not leave prison alive.
Well, he should have known that getting into that kind of space, that kind of level of criminality would end up with inconsequences. I'm not worried about people like those. I just worry that we have created democratic institutions which are meant to be independent, to govern, to lead this fabulous, what was meant to be fabulous democracy, as far away from apartheid pain into a future that is so beautifully described in the preamble to the Constitution of South Africa. But we can't just walk that journey without doing the right things, and that journey cannot walk itself. So there are some things that are not acceptable. This country should be clear that those things are not acceptable, irrespective of who the authors are of those things. We should not worry about them. We should extract all the truth from these people and ensure that we keep and protect the integrity of South Africa and its institutions into perpetuity.
Over to the Democratic Alliance, Solly, what did you make of former leader Tony Leon's response to the allegations made by the last former leader, Mr. John Steenhuisen?
It is very fascinating. He came out fighting. I mean, Tony Leon is a fighter. He's always been a fighter. I mean, I remember his days facing Thabo Mbeki, who almost didn't stand him in parliament. Look, he came out saying, look, first of all, two things. One, I'm going to defend the Resolve Communications. I'm the chairman, and this is what we do. And he like went on about, you know, people accusing him of state capture. This is not capture. This is the opposite of state capture. And he went against onto Steenhuisen. Like, Steenhuisen has got bigger things to worry about. He mentioned his credit card things. Look, he mentioned it at a high level. He said, but I tried to help him. You know, he didn't look at stuff that's negative. That's very negative. That's toxic that he should be dealing with. And of course, in the middle of all this is poor Jordan Hill Lewis, who is worried, who has got to keep an eye on what is the impact on the political party? How are we positioned ahead of the next government, local government elections? How are we positioned at the GNU? Because we are also a partner in the governing coalition. So he's like, I'm not trying to be part of this. I don't want to be part of this mud pit. Poor Jordan Hill Lewis. Well, these guys go on for each other. But I think what really is happening here is that Tony Leon should be not more upfront with South Africans, you know, because he is a very important former leader of the Democratic Alliance. I think he should have been, you know, I would not be comfortable. I run a communications company. I work for the political party. I would be uncomfortable to play that role, because that link, that line that probably I shouldn't cross. If I did, I would probably have to tell South Africans this is what, I mean, they would know, but I would still make it very obvious. Because the way it seemed is almost like he was trying to lobby on behalf of groups that are not very kosher for many South Africans, politically speaking. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's just the ethical positioning of himself, given his history with the political party, has continued to be worrisome. I don't think he's the only communications group that is doing what he does. Lobbying is fine. It's just that the way it came out has been wrong. I would be very uncomfortable to be in his position. But in the end, I think that, you know, the whole thing, whether Jordan Hill Lewis wants to be part of the conversation or not, it's hurting the political party. This DA, this is the DA that has always been positioned as morally higher, holier than thou kind of party. Maybe for right reasons in some areas, maybe not for the right reasons, but they have also shown to be politicians. You know, they were just ahead of the local government of the 2024 elections, clear that they would not go after Ramaphosa on Phalaphala, because they have a deal with him, right, to become ministers and, you know, get their own share of blue lights and overseas travel and that sort of thing. Now, the Constitutional Court pronounced itself on the Phalaphala matter. Now, the DS are saying, well, we will look at the facts and, you know, we will act on the facts. You know, and we're still going to see what role they're going to play there in terms of the role that they will play in the Section 89 committee that's looking at impeachment for Ramaphosa. So I think that the big problem in the end is about how politicians position themselves vis-a-vis the country and vis-a-vis South Africans. It's almost like we South Africans are just observers. We're not prioritized in terms of ethical conduct by political parties. So the Tony Leon thing is just throwing a very dirty petter at the DA, and everybody is now like, oh, you see, they too, they're doing it too. So it's being repeated, and we live in a country where something over and over repeated, even if it's not true, becomes true for many, you know. So it's pushing the DA morally, ethically on the back foot. So it's kind of interesting to see how they survive this. But Tony Leon is going to be have to be very clear about, you know, this sort of thing, especially because he seems to have been lobbying almost primarily DA people, the people of the party that he led previously. That could be worrisome.
All the drama in the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance. Might be a big boom for the smaller parties come the local government elections in November, Solly.
Yeah, indeed. But, I'm still of the view, Chris, that elections in South Africa shouldn't just be for the dominant political parties to lose. They should be for someone to win with a program that speaks to what worries South Africans, to what South Africans aspire to, what our country aspires to as a democracy. We're not just a Southern African rooted democracy. We have a big voice in the global arena, in Africa, in the middle, in the global South, etc. So we need, and hence the importance of being careful about whom we position as diplomat in some of these big capitals. It shouldn't we just be a friend of the president who has no weight. You know what I'm saying? So I think that political parties are going to, they need to really think about what's good for South Africa. And South Africans need to be very clear about what country they want to live in. They need to be clear about raising their voice to say, we want you politicians to do this for us, instead of politicians saying, we will vote for you, we will do this for you. It should be we will serve you because this is what you want. So of course, a lot of small political parties are going to try and, you know, reap the rewards of everything that's going on here. But they still must think of South Africa, the country. We're heading towards local government elections, of course. There's a mess. Most municipalities are in trouble. Opportunists will come in with good or bad intentions. It's up to South Africans to raise their voice, to raise their stance, to be more clear about what they want, and to demand what they want. You know, we've given too much power in this country to political parties and to politicians. We must stop treating people, these people, like heroes, wanting to be on Instagram with them, even when they come out very badly in criminal investigations and stuff. And we're not doing that. We're not doing that in our country. We are the biggest, the worst enemies of our country. If you think about even these immigration stories, the worst people are the ones who are employed by Home Affairs and Weather or Customs officials, border officials, people who either demand or accept bribes from foreigners. Those are the worst enemies of South Africa. But we don't mention them enough. We don't.
Indeed. Thank you. That was political commentator Solly Mueng speaking to me, Chris Steyn, for BizNews. Thank you, Solly.
It's a pleasure.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now. In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9, Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description.